This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
Once you find out what you absolutely love and what you're absolutely passionate about to fuel your life, you'll never work another day in your life. So just figure out what you're passionate about and run in that direction. And it might not be real estate for some people, I'm just telling you, but just figure out, is that gonna be the wealth accumulation? That's gonna be the idea, the thought, activity that's gonna help you accumulate the wealth that's gonna make your life.
How is everyone? Welcome to the Color of Money Live podcast recording here at Family Reunion 2024. Yes, let's go. Woo. Friends, if you're listening online, we have a live studio audience today at Family Reunion, and we are excited to bring information to you about the color of money. If you have not yet tuned into the podcast, here's what it is. We are every day, every week, not every day, every week, we bring transformative conversations to help people earn more, learn more, and build wealth, okay? People of color, because historically, as we all know in this room, there is a large wealth disparity that exists in the United States of America. For, in fact, home ownership gaps and wealth gaps are some of the most visible manifestations of racial inequity in the United States. So we have designed and created conversations to help people understand really the mindset, the actual actions, the conversations that need to take place to build wealth. Now, a lot of our conversations are geared towards the Black community because we have the largest disparity that exists. Anyone can use the tools that we talk about. Anyone can benefit from the conversations that we talk about. But specifically, we do talk about issues that we have in the Black community. And particularly in this episode here, live at Family Reunion, we're going to be talking about building wealth in the framework of the fact that we have a goal. And our goal is to have 300 Black millionaires in the next 3 years. That means all of you must participate in this conversation. All of you must participate in the actions that we are going to give you to take away from here today. We're going to share some information on how we can help hold each other accountable, actual steps so we can measure our success, measure our progress, all of those types of things. So today's conversation, we really actually want to talk about that. And we want to, specifically, we were going to call this, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Which is the question, who wants to be a millionaire? And so, specifically in that framework of getting to the 300 Black millionaires, which each and every single one of you in this room being one of those, this conversation with my co-hosts that I get the opportunity to do this podcast with will help you on the steps towards that. So my name is Julia Lachey Israel. I am the head of inclusion and belonging at KWRI. I'm also a managing partner of the Signature Group in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I saw my team in here somewhere. My team leader's in here somewhere. Let's go. Yeah, he said right
there. There we go.
right there.
Yes. Give it up for Trey Adams. All right. And then also, friends, before we get started and allow the other co-hosts to introduce themselves, this episode is actually being sponsored by Riz Media. So let me read my script. This broadcast of the Color of Money podcast is brought to you by Riz Media Premier. Riz Media Premier offers exclusive information and insights necessary to achieve unparalleled success in real estate. All Keller Williams agents receive $100 off their annual membership when you go to rizmedia.com/premier and use the coupon code RISFR24. That's RISFR24. So thank you very much for that. Now I will move on. I would love for you to meet the wonderful gentleman that I have had the honor and pleasure of being on this podcast with. I have learned so much from them. I have to tell y'all, I get frustrated when I hear that people haven't tuned into the Color of Money podcast because the amount of wealth and information that is sitting on this panel has absolutely transformed my life in just a short period of time. And I want that for everybody. So I get frustrated when I hear you haven't listened to them yet, because anytime Uncle Emmerich or Daniel or Botox, I listen. right? And so please introduce yourselves, gentlemen. Who are you on this panel as my wonderful co-host today?
You actually listened to me?
I listened to you.
I didn't know that.
I listened to you. I don't make it seem. See, Emmerich thinks I don't listen to him, but when he says shut up, I be quiet. But when he leaves, I be talking again. That's it. I listen to him. Who are you, Unc?
My name is Emmerich Peace. I am an operating partner out of Upper Marlboro, Maryland. I am a 20-year operating partner at Keller Williams Preferred Properties. I am also a Hall of Fame OP at Keller Williams. My market center has over 600 agents. I'm a mega agent. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I think I'm a great person, too. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. We call a monk.
Damn.
It's on me?
Yes, sir.
So first I want to give some love for Julia, because without her keeping us all in alignment, we would be all over the place. So I appreciate
this
you, Julia.
True story.
Thank you. Second, Unc doesn't have, so if you guys don't know, Emmerich is really, really good at technology. And since we're all connected, we have no technology mishaps today. So I'm excited that we're doing this.
I appreciate it.
I'm Daniel. I'm out of Denver, Colorado. I'm an operating principal. There we go. Denver in the house. I'm an operating principal. I run a mega team. I own a mortgage company, bunch of investment properties, flip houses, do a lot of things. And I'm passionate about doing this and sharing this information, because one thing I've learned as I've grown in this industry over the past decade is that there's not a lot of people in these rooms where they're sharing a lot of this information that look like us. And a lot of the reason that I've been able to grow so fast is because I've had shortcuts and I've gotten a lot of the information early. And so my passion is being able to get that information out, because we do want to create all these millionaires, but we need you guys to do the work. We need you guys to understand the concepts, the principles, the tools, implement them, do them, to allow us to help us reach our goal. So I'm proud to do this. I'm excited to do this. And like Emmerich calls me, me and Bo are the two exotic ones on the panel. So, right, Emmerich?
There you go.
Cheers.
Yeah. I had to ask you where you from.
Awesome. So I guess I'm the other light-skinned brother. My name's Bowman Keady from Washington, D.C. Have had the privilege of doing a number of things in Keller Williams and in real estate, from being a mega agent, having a mega team, to opening four home run launch market centers in Keller Williams, to being an RD, a regional owner, mortgage company title, et cetera. And then also had a passion for real estate investing. And I think we were talking the other day, there was this conversation the other day about like, how could you distill your life down to a word? Mm-hmm. And I didn't figure, like, I didn't get there yet. I didn't get my passion down to a word, but I got it to like a little phrase, I think, I've been thinking about the last 2 days, and this idea of letting talent shine. And how do we let talent shine at this intersection of real estate, race, and impact? Like when you put together real estate, race, and impact, and right where those things overlap, how can we go let talent shine there? And it's awesome to be part of this group, because in this room, there's so much talent, there's so much opportunity. So we need to find the people who don't just want to be a millionaire,
right,
but who are gonna do the work to go make it happen.
Wait a minute, Jude, before you go anywhere, Bo kind of glossed over something. Y'all didn't hear what Bo glossed over. Bo glossed over regional owner. Did y'all hear? He glossed over it. That's a different game. It's a different game. He said regional owner. He said regional director, but then he said regional owner, and y'all didn't pick that up. So I just want to make sure we clear that he said owner.
Also, by the way, I think we should mention that all three of these gentlemen are what we call operating partners. I know that they said that, but people don't always know what that means. Obviously, Keller Williams is a franchised organization, and somebody owns these franchises. These gentlemen own the franchises in their regions, in Maryland and in Colorado and in D.C., and so they are the franchise owners of those particular market centers, we call them, or offices, as we call them. Daniel happens to be the first black-owned franchise in Colorado. And Emmerich, they all are kind of being humble. And Emmerich has the undisputed, most successful and largest black brokerage in the country. And if you don't know who Bowman Keady is, Google him. Okay.
Bo is Googleable.
He is Googleable.
Google Mankini Properties. Google Bowman Keady, and Bo is actually also a developer. He does some really big projects and some really cool things. I think one thing that's probably not big to you, but it was big to me, is that you currently are doing that 400-unit building for Howard University.
He does
a lot of things like that. So like I said, when they speak, I listen. So continue. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure people know who y'all are.
No, it's an awesome, and I feel like, you know, they pulled me back in. So this Color Money podcast, I was in the early seeds and the germination of it, and then they took it off. So I'm so thankful for these folks and what we get to learn every day from each other. So today we're going to talk a little bit about wealth, and this is the whole point of the Color of Money. But we thought as we go forward and we try to get more tactical, and how does this actually, I mean, Daniel's always reminding us, like, information discussion is great. But what are people going to go take action on? And I don't know how many of you were in the Mel Robbins this morning talking about, like, how do we count down? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. What are we going to go do? What are we going to actually go do with all this great information that we hear? So we wanted to lay out a little framework for you, because we can get in some good conversations, and, you know, Imrik will take us down some beautiful bunny trails, and it'll be very scenic, and we'll learn some great stuff. But if we want to have, like, a little GPS that lets us know where we are, you know, I still got to check out, where on a map am I? Like, where am I? We want to lay out kind of a framework that we can use as we think about a journey through wealth. And this framework came together, I think some of you may have heard this a lot from me before, but it came together when Gary Keller challenged me about 12 years ago. He said, you know, you've been on this wealth building journey. Kellum has been this great driver of wealth for you. Can you put it all on one page? Can you summarize your whole life in a model on one page? And I said, well, I don't know if I can do that. He said, well, try, come back. And so first I had 3 pages, and so got it down to 1 page. And it was this very simple, like, continuum. So I just want to give you some concepts of that, because we're going to talk about 4 pillars. As we move forward in the podcast, we're going to focus on putting our sessions into these 4 pillars. If you look at the sessions that have been done, they really fit in these 4 pillars. So I'm going to kind of lay out those 4 pillars along a continuum, right? And this
in
circle.
Fact, if you have paper and pen, this might be a good time to pull it out and actually take some notes. When Bo talks, we listen. So if you have an opportunity to pull out a pen and paper and actually draw the circle and do this with that he's talking about, this would be a good time to do that. Yeah.
So imagine over here on your left-hand side, I'm doing it backwards so you can get over. On your left-hand side is a big old circle. I want you to put in that circle, I want you to put create. Create. Okay? And up on top, I want you to write, this is where time plus talent equals money. Time plus talent equals money. Okay, got that? I'm gonna lay it out, then we'll come back. In the middle, we got another circle. So in our middle, we got another circle here. In the middle of that circle, I want you to put multiply. Multiply. And up top, I want you to write time plus talent plus money equals money. All right, so each one's got a word and a formula. And over here on your right-hand side, we're gonna put our last circle. And inside that circle, we're gonna put protect and grow. Protect and grow. And up top, we got a real simple formula. That formula is money equals money. Okay? So we got time and talent for money equals create. We got time and talent and money for money equals multiply. And we got money for money equals protect and grow. And why the wealth building continuum is actually really important is you got to know which season of your wealth building journey you're in and you might be in multiple seasons at the same time, but what parts of your life and your business are driving those different circles, okay? And so we're going to talk today about 4 different things that are all near and dear to all of our hearts, and I think to many of you in this room, right? We're going to talk about building an amazing real estate sales business. And I put that in the time and talent, where you don't have a lot of barriers to entry. You don't have to have gone any 7-year, 8-year programs. But if you have grit, if you have, you know, desire, determination, if you want to serve, you can do a great job in real estate sales and you can make a good amount of money. The reality, though, is that when you trade time and talent for money, no matter how talented you are, there's a limit to what people will pay you and there's a limit to how much time you have, right? We just had Tony Robbins here, right? And Tony Robbins is probably one of the world's greatest speakers, right? And he got paid a lot of money to be here, right? But in his speaking world, he trades his time and his talent for money. And I don't know if you paid attention, because I'm big on like paying attention to stuff. I don't know if you noticed when Tony Robbins talked about his wealth, he put a slide up there. And there was 100 different businesses under the Tony Robbins world. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you Tony Robbins' wealth is not from his speaking. That's what got him the money to start. That's where he created the resource that drove it, right? Okay, so let's jump over here into the multiply piece, okay? And the multiply piece is the piece I think we miss in America. If you grow up like just a normal kid in America, we tell you, go get a job, go get a good job, go make some money, you'll get yourself a solid government job, right? And then go over here and get a 401k so you can retire, okay? And that's a money for money exercise. So we are taught to skip the middle. We aren't taught to do the middle. People don't want us to do the middle. But the middle, if you don't have a lot of money, there's no amount of working a good job and put it over here in your 401k that's gonna change the wealth trajectory of your family. So if you happen to be in a place where there's a wealth gap and you're trying to close that gap, we have to be able to master the middle. And the middle is where you multiply. And this is where if you've been able to create, you gotta create first, because if you don't have anything, you can't trade time and talent and money for money if you ain't got no money. Okay, let's just be real about that, okay? So you may be in this season of your journey. You may be negative, you may be in debt. Okay, let's go create so we can get out of debt. Once we've created and we have something that we can invest, let's go trade our time and our talent and our money for money. But that means we gotta put our time and talent behind our money. It means we actually have to take risk. We have to put our money at stake behind our own performance. Right? We gotta sometimes invest in others and their performance, right? When we do that, that's where maybe your business starts to early stage of that, might transition from being just an individual to maybe a team. Now you got some other people there. Maybe you're having to invest some money in that. Maybe you're having to run some marketing, some ads. Maybe it's buying a flip. You had to put up the money to buy the house, but you're gonna put in the work to renovate it, to manage it. Maybe it's a rental property. You're gonna put up money, that's more heavily money and less time and talent, but you're gonna still have to manage it. You gotta find the right property, right? So the reasons to continuum is because as you move from over here to over here, it becomes less dependent on time. Over here, it's highly dependent on time and talent. And over here, it's highly dependent on money. As you move across the spectrum, the money becomes the bigger engine and the time and talent becomes less. And that's how you create leverage, right? So then finally, in the last one, the protect and grow, or we trade money for money. This is about the tools we use to ensure that money flows through our life in an efficient way. And this is something that I think is kind of like really hidden. It's a conversation we don't have a lot. We have a lot of conversations about how you make money, you know, and how you actually get it. We even have a lot of conversation about entrepreneurship, right? I was actually listening the other day, this conversation, we can come back to this. I don't know I'm talking along, but like, we're actually a very entrepreneurial people. Right? But 96% of all Black-owned businesses in America employ no people. Let me just say that. 96% of all Black-owned businesses in America employ no people. So the chances are that if we want to create a pathway of having to go to work, you're going to go work for a majority firm. Because our entrepreneurship never actually invests enough in the time and talent for money to create the leverage, to create the opportunities for other people to come along behind us. And then finally over here, there's the ways of how do we manage our money? How do we manage taxation? How does wealth pass from one generation to the next? What are you doing to make your stuff actually come to you in ways, you know, is this gonna be a capital gain? If you start thinking about the ways, you know, you've probably heard some of these conversations about like even Elon Musk buying Twitter for the tax write-off that he got when the value dropped. He actually intentionally dropped the value. So just things that you're thinking about, these very sophisticated strategies that other people use to make their money go further and to make their money create more money for them. And how can we master those strategies? So those are the kind of the continuum. And I want you to think about as you move across the continuum from right or from your left to right, the return on your money goes down. If today you put your money in a CD, it's actually pretty good. You might get 4 or 5%, okay? If you're on a sales team, your margin should probably be, if it's an individual, it might be like 60, 70%. If it's a team, it might be 30%, 40%, right? Arm race is 40%. If you flip a house, probably should make about a 20% return on costs. If you own a rental property, you could get a 10, a 7 to 10% return. That'd be a pretty good return on the actual cash flow of the property, right? But if you go buy a triple net lease McDonald's and you just put the money up and they take care of everything else, they build the McDonald's, and you're probably gonna get 4 or 5%. So as you go from over here, your return goes down. But the time also goes down. And so you could own a whole bunch of these things. You could own thousands of these. You're not gonna run thousands of sales teams. And so that's where this understanding and moving to this continuum becomes important. So I'm gonna turn it over to Daniel because we thought it was interesting that all of us have passions across all of these, but we also have been like really amazing in certain parts of these verticals. And so Daniel's gonna kick us off by thinking about how this pillar of how do you build a great residential real estate sales business as a way to create the cash that can drive the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think every time I hear Bo talk, I'm always just like, whoa. Damn, like this. He's so smart in the things that he says. And I want to tell you guys, when I was on my journey to start this and I was hearing a lot of these concepts, you have to hear them 5, 6, 7, 10 times before they make sense. And that's part of the commitment to actually go do and practice some of these habits and these ideas before they actually make sense to you. So I don't want anybody, as we talk about these different pillars and we talk about these things and asset protection and taxation and some of these other things, not to get overwhelmed with the fact that you don't fully grasp it yet. What we're asking you to do is just take a step in that right direction. And I promise you over time, as we continue to take steps, you guys will start understanding more and more what it looks like. Now, building a real estate team has not always been my passion. Matter of fact, I didn't really like being a real estate agent at all. But when I was talking to my coach, originally, when probably a year and a half in the business, he really broke it down. And there's two things he said. The first thing he said, so I used to work in, I'm internet lead generation. I used to work at Trulia, selling zip codes and internet leads and everything else. And we know how to generate a lot of leads. We know how to convert a lot of leads at a really high level. And he tells me, he goes, D, if you don't have the ability to teach other people to do what you know how to do, then you're worthless. I'm like, I'm worthless. Like, it doesn't make sense. Now, if we start talking about what Bo was just explaining about the time piece of it, I get it. There's only 24 hours in a day. So that was a defining moment for me. And the second thing that happened, my wife and I, we have three young kids. I'm working. She stays at home with the kids. And he tells me as one of our first coaching calls, Brett goes, Daniel, what happens if you get hit by a bus? And I'm like, it's a wrap. Like, we have nothing. And he goes, okay, we really got to start working on your business rather than having you in your business. We got to be able to have something to give to other people. So those two concepts combined made my passion about starting to build a real estate business. How can I empower others and teach others to do what I know how to do at a high level? And then how can I buy my time back? A lot of us in here that sell a lot of houses and push really hard can probably appreciate the fact that it's difficult to be the best real estate agent, be the best teacher, be the best husband, be the best dad, be the best friend. You have all these different hats. The only thing that we can buy back is our time to be able to do all of these things at a much higher level. And that was the journey of being able to start going on and building a real estate team to be able to have that time back so I can do all the things at a high level. Now, in one of our previous episodes with Kimber, we were talking about how on their journey with Capital Properties, as the journey that you guys had, we had fixed costs and we had fixed income.
Can I ask you a quick question before you go into that? Can you tell us about your team?
Yes. Anything specific or
yes. Just... like, what's the team's name? How many agents are on the team? How is the structure? How much volume do y'all do? Do you sell houses?
Deal. Okay. Yeah. So my team name, we're called the Dixon Group. We sell about $140, $150 million in volume every year, about 300, 350 houses. Currently, we have about 18 members on our team. I'm fully out of production. I've been fully out of production for about six, seven years. And the passion that I never knew I had was watching my other people win. And I never would have done that if it would have been all about me continually to sell houses over and over and over again. But now when we take a step back by me getting my time back, it allows me to start working on other things. If you're always an agent, you're always dealing with clients front facing, you don't have that brain space to be able to go think about or step back and look at the whole picture of all of it. And so, anything else?
No, I just wanted the people to know that you actually have a team.
I have a team.
And that it's a very successful real estate team.
Correct. Sorry, my bad. So one of the previous episodes with Kimber, what we were talking about was on their way up, they had their fixed income that they were making regardless of what the GCI that came in every month. And that is certainly not what I did when I came up. The GCI kept going into one account, and my expenses, my lifestyle kind of fluctuated based on how good of a month I had.
You do have some nice sneakers on.
I do. Thank you. So this is one of those purchases early in my real estate career. So now when we think about using that as the catalyst to be able to generate all of the revenue, to be able to sweep the excess revenue into an investment account, to allow you to go do these other things in the investment space, was an incredible concept for me. I wish I would have known that earlier. And so all of you guys thinking about that, that may live closing to closing, that may have six closings in a month or whatever it is, how can we get your income at a set amount every single month that you can comfortably live by? And anything above that goes into your investment space, goes into your ability to go flip houses, buy notes, buy investment properties, buy rentals, different things like that. And so the real estate team, the real estate industry, like we have this conversation on the podcast frequently where it's like, if you don't have a way of generating enough revenue, this investment conversation unfortunately doesn't exist, right? So in my opinion, those of you that don't know me, I'm fairly authentic and I'm straight to the point. We got to do more. We got to achieve more. Whatever you did last year, you need to do more of it. Whatever you're already doing this year, we got to double down and do more of it. We don't put enough pressure on ourselves to achieve more because we don't have an understanding of what that long-term vision actually looks like. If we make $100,000 in a year, we made it. But that may not be enough based on your wealth goals that we're trying to achieve over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And so I challenge all of you guys to think about, what does the future look like? What do we want to do? And how do we break down those GPSs and those actual yearly goals to make sure that we're continually on point with that? How do we keep our income fixed so we can actually have this additional abundance of money to go do the investment and start playing in this other space? Being a real estate agent and just making a closing check, you guys, it isn't enough. The fact that we don't have more millionaires in this industry is asinine. But it's because we're focused on the wrong things in this industry. And my hope is that we can dial in, realize we're either gonna go teach other people to do what we know how to do, we're gonna leverage other people to buy our time back so we can focus in other areas. And all of that is through leverage, through people, through talent, that whole pillar of what we're trying to get across.
Hey, and Daniel, like, I think there's a real interesting perspective on that, right? Which is like, it's not enough, but it's the amazing launching pad. And like, how lucky are we to be in a business where you can launch and create capital in as fast a time as you possibly can in real estate. Like, that's a huge gift. Like, let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get stuck there. The problem is the gift is so good, people get comfortable. Some of you might be in that space. Some of you might be still trying to realize the gift, like trying to turn on that gift, right? Sometimes that gift gets good and then people get comfortable and they get a little lazy, they get a little complacent. And the reality is there's a limit to that. There's a limit to what you can do in that first bucket. And you'll hit it at some point if you really crush it as a real estate salesman.
I want to plug a couple of the previous episodes. If y'all have not yet tuned in, one of the episodes, when speaking specifically of real estate, and you're saying even just getting started. And how many of you are new to real estate? Show of hands, how many of you have been in real estate less than 3 years? A number of you. Montez McRae, he was on episode 8, I think, and he talked about his first year in real estate. It was a very good episode to listen to about just how do you even do more. Daniel, you're talking about doing more, but he talked about the mindset that is required in order to do more. So episode 8, I wanted to plug Montez's episode. It was a very good episode. And then also we had Jason Abrams on recently talking about the MREA and the conversations that he's had with millionaire real estate agents who have started as a launching pad, as the real estate team and business being a launching pad. And I think that was probably like episode 24 or something like that. But tune into the previous episodes because a lot of the things they're talking about, we've had really good in-depth conversations about those things on the podcast previously.
Yeah, in the episode with Montez, it was his mindset and understanding. He sold nothing for 6 months, but he didn't give up. He understood what he wanted. And it was just a matter of falling in love with the process that then things start rolling downhill for you. Things start becoming easier over time. And a lot of us, we face a little bit of adversity or a little bit of a challenge, and we pivot and we go do something different. Or we take on this other side job, but we're not fully committed to what that actual thing looks like. And one thing Bo said that I want to double down on, we talk about comfort. and we talk about comfort and complacency.
We got my bag.
One of the things that I've heard, I'm not going to say their name exactly, but that I've heard from someone that I respect is there's a certain amount of income you want to get your agents to. And it's right between like 125 to 160, because that's comfort. They don't make enough money to leave you, and they make enough to live a comfortable life where they're going to stay with you. And so my goal is blowing through that so we can continue to have our agents make more and more money. But the thought of like, are you comfortable right now? If the answer is yes, go take a cold shower, right? Go take an ice bath, do a cold plunge, do something different right. to get out of that level of comfort and complacency, because it's just going to continue to be more in the same. And we were having a conversation the other day just about how do we get to that comfort level and how everyone just says, I'm good.
Right.
How do we avoid that?
And you know, it's interesting that you say that, because that's what keeps us from going to the next level. Mm-hmm. Most of us, to be quite frank, most of us make more money than most of the people that we know. And we judge our insides by other people's outsides, either one way or the other. And we're in a comfortable place, and all we're looking at is that I'm better than this group of people. Well, when you change the room that you're in, you understand it, you're running at an income deficit if you really want to get to the next level. And so we really have to stop judging our insides by other people's outsides one way or the other, primarily in the way where we're making more money than most of the people that we know. So we're in that comfortable place because we're not doing as bad, and people calling us borrowing money, y'all know what I'm talking about. And we're not the one borrowing the money. And so we just have to be careful in that place. But Bo, you said something, and I don't think people really understand that idea of, I'm going to call it critical mass capital. Right. And you were like amazing at critical mass capital, because like people see they want to be who you are, but they don't want to do what you do to become who you are. And when you first came into business, you would kind of sort of share an apartment. You had a house with roommates, and it was just a different story. But what you did, and what I admire about what you did, was you took your money and you said, I'm going to live off of this amount of money for this amount of time. I don't even think you had a time frame. You didn't have the time. You had a certain amount of what I'm calling critical mass capital. And once you got to that place of critical mass capital, what you understood was that you could take that capital that you acquired, and now you had the flexibility to do more things. You were willing to do the things today that other people aren't willing to do, so you could do the things tomorrow that other people can't do. Which is a different conversation. And that was deep when you said that. I've always thought about that, but today it really just like, that was it.
What it did, right? Like what critical, I love this critical mass capital term. Like what it allows you to do is to move, right? So we just laid out a continuum.
Well, y'all see that. Y'all remember Emmerich said critical mass
capital. Critical mass capital.
Those are smart.
I'm gonna trademark that junk.
Critical mass capital. I just want y'all to know that.
But what it allows you to do is move to the next stage. It allows you to get to the next stage. So you can't get into the next stage if you don't have critical mass capital.
Right.
The sooner you get to the next stage, then time's on your side. So I remember I had early in the career, I had a team leader in our first office. And like 5 years in, he comes to me, he goes like, you know, he says to me, he says, you know, it's just not, it's, you know, you've done all this stuff and you make all this money and da-da-da-da. And, you know, something happened where he was upset about some money thing. He said, well, you know, and I'm just here doing this team leader. So I said, let's go back and look. You and I have been working together for 7 years. During those 7 years, he'd actually been paid 130% of the money I'd been paid. He'd just done something different. He'd actually made more money than I had over the 7 year period, but he hadn't done anything with that money. And I had lived off of, you know, 60% of my money and done something with the 40% that became something. So I think it's important. The last thing I want to say about what Julia said and what Emmerich said is like, and what Daniel was saying is like, people don't pay attention, I don't think, deep enough. We just like, especially, it's hard. You're at a family reunion and like somebody's on stage, they're on a panel, they're doing great, right? And so you're like I love how you said like where Montez was and what he was focused on, right? So we just laid out a path for you to become wealthy. Well, you probably should, if you're interested in like turbo starting your real estate business, you should be listening to Montez. You should be really listening to Montez and realizing what he's doing great that's making him shine in that space. Well, if you're trying to figure out how to do money for money and you're talking about Montez, you're an idiot because Montez isn't doing that. That's not where Montez is shining at this stage in his life. So pay more. It's not just success or they have, right, or they got money. Like, that's a simple way of looking at it. You got to start to understand where along that journey people are and what they're shining at.
And one thing I've learned with a lot of these, with these guys, people we've interviewed, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. It's doing the work over and over and over and over and over again. And over again. So get your mind right, get your passion right, understand what you're doing all of this for, what that thing looks like in 3 years, 5 years from now, and it makes the process so much, so much, so much easier for you.
So Daniel, you talked about, okay, we got our business going, and then you talked about, okay, unless you can teach somebody else,
yeah,
this doesn't move. So one of the things that was really interesting for us is we're not only in this business of real estate sales that's amazing, like we're in this business of real estate. And when I first got into real estate, I used to always quote the Realtor Code of Ethics because it started off and said, underneath all is the land. And upon its wise utilization, just distribution depend the hallmarks of our society. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I get to work with the thing that's like underneath everybody that influences everything. This is really cool. Well, guess what? So many of us work with that. We help people transfer it. We help people acquire it. And guess what? We don't own any of it. Mm. So step two, second pillar, how do we actually own assets? And guess what? All real estate assets aren't the same, right? It's not the same. And so you need to know what your goal is there. A lot of real estate, you know, sales practitioners enter that space first through flipping houses. Anyone have any ideas on like why people might think that? Why might people like flipping houses if they're a realtor? Any idea, you guys? Why do you think that's so attractive to people?
I don't know. What do you think?
The only thing I can think of is it's easier in their mind.
It's quicker, right?
Right.
It's easier, yeah, like you said. It's easier quicker. And quicker. Like if I'm gonna flip a house, it's kind of like getting a commission. And instead of taking 60 days or 90 days,
yeah,
I might get my money in 6 months, maybe a year, right? But it's still this idea: I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna get a win.
Right.
I'm gonna do it now, and I'm gonna see the win. I'm gonna do it now, I'm gonna see the win. So most of us, when people think about real estate investing, they think about flipping. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with rehabbing a house, making a great place to live and give it to somebody else. But I can tell you, it's horribly tax efficient, inefficient. You know, you're gonna pay ordinary income on that flip if you're making money off of it, mm-hmm, right? So that's a step. So if you think about the continuum along the kingdom, that's a step. Mm-hmm. I always think the step we are not as inclined to do is the long game. We're not as inclined to buy an asset that's going to appreciate over time because we say, oh, I hear people all the time, well, why would I make $200 a month off that house? When I can just get a commission and I get $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay? But that $200 a month off the house might be worth way more.
And that. Over the long-term money tomorrow. It's kind of sort of like saying, I'll give you $100 today, or I'll give you $10,000 in 10 years, which would you take? Well, sometimes it just depends on your financial situation. That $100 might get you some groceries today and you might be in that situation. The reality is that you take the $10,000 over 10 years because it's just a better long-term proposition. And it comes back to what I said earlier. I'm willing to do the things today that other people aren't willing to do, so I can do the things tomorrow that other people can't do. And so that's the whole idea of hyperbolic discounting.
Yeah.
Take the long game over the short game.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
So I think about it as, so first pillar is you have a business, you create money, right? Now our second pillar is in the multiply space. In the multiply space, you're going to use your money to buy an asset. Maybe you reposition that asset, maybe you just rent that asset, but you're using money to buy something. So that's one thing you can do when you're in the multiply space. You can use your time and talent and your money to go acquire something of value and to create value from it, either that's ongoing or that's in a short period of time. The other thing you can do in the multiply space, though, sets up the third pillar, is it becomes you could actually grow a business where you invest your time and talent and money into a business. Sometimes those assets are people, right? Sometimes they're a product or developing a service. And that could be the other way you could multiply wealth. And so, Emmerich, I've always really admired you. When I first came into the real estate business, I had my opportunity to hang my license in the Keller Williams before we launched the Market Center, got to sit in Emmerich's Market Center and learned so much from that experience. And one of the things I learned from Emmerich, you all are beneficiaries of it in this community, in our community, is that he always approached it from a leadership mindset. So you go back to what Daniel said, it can't just be what you can do, it's gotta be what you can help others do. So can you talk to us a little bit about the third pillar, which is like, how do you develop as a leader? How do you develop a business? And how do you develop your leadership so that you can take the talent and the stuff you had and multiply that through an organization?
Well, the first step in that, you have to be the person who you want other people to be. So many times, like we want other people to do other things. We want other people in our lives, but we're not willing to uphold ourselves to a standard, number one, which will teach people, and number two, how to attract people. Mm-hmm. So it works both ways. And so in that space of being that person, it's an evolution, it's a learning experience. We have to be willing to open up ourselves. We have to be willing to open up ourselves to other people. We have to be willing to open up ourselves to ourselves. And a lot of times that's where the fault comes in. We're not willing to open up ourselves to ourselves. We don't investigate our reality. And a lot of times when we investigate our reality, we have a certain amount of shortfall that we're not willing to deal with. Now, if we're not willing to deal with our shortcomings, our shortfalls, how do we lead other people to go to a different path? You really can't do it. You can't do it because at some point you have to sit in the dark with yourself and say, am I real with me? And if you're not real with yourself, you can't properly lead other people. Because guess what? At some point in time, you will expose yourself. Right? Because people love authenticity. People, matter of fact, not just black people, I say black people a lot, but black people love authenticity. We thrive on authentic people. And so when you're in that space, it's one thing. When you're dealing with majority of other people, eventually they understand that you're not authentic also. So you're at a mismatch. So when you start talking about leadership, you show up as the person who you want other people to be. That's the first thing. And one of the things that's helped me so much is that humility is a powerful word. Humility is a powerful word. And I say it because what's that cliche? People don't know, want to know how much you know until they know how much you care. It's real, however, that comes through in humility. And when you're humble, the authenticity come out. And you have to really have a heart for other people to grow. And in that leadership space where you're talking about that, you have to remove yourself personally from that situation or from that group. And it's not about you. It's about the people who you're looking to serve. And that's where a lot of times we miss the boat, because we're so focused in this leader, in our leadership journey of what am I getting out of this deal? What's in it for me? We fall into the WIFM effect. And if we're not getting enough, we're not going to give enough. And I operate a little bit differently. I figure if I give more, the more I give, the greater the capacity there is for me to receive. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people think I'm helping them, and I'm really helping myself. And it's on a subconscious level. Consciously, I'm helping you. I can't help you without me myself getting better. Does that resonate with you guys? And you have to operate in that space, because when you operate in that space from a leadership perspective, people are willing to follow you. If you call yourself a leader and you're walking by yourself, with John Maxwell say, you're just out for a long walk. You ain't need nobody. It's just you and you. And in that space, you got to find a way to grab people and grab them by the hand, and it has to be, again, authentic, where it's not a quid pro quo. I do this for you, you do this for me. That's it. It can't be that way. So in that conversation, so I had an interesting event a couple of days ago where I invited someone to an event and it was a money-making opportunity for them. It was not a money-making opportunity for me, and they made money. I wanted to purchase something from this person, and they told me the price, and it was the same price that they would sell it to anybody else. I want you to wrap your brain around this for a second. This is just an opportunity for us to think. And in my space, if you gave me an opportunity and I had something that you wanted, I would give it back. I would give it to you for just the thought of you reaching out to me and giving me something, not that I had to pay for it, but just for the idea that you gave me something. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is that when people do something for you, you have to always think about, what can I do for that person? And even though they're not thinking about it, you have to come from that place. And it's a matter of just being a leader of yourself. And it's when we talk, have this conversation about leadership, the first person you have to lead is yourself. You have to be in that space. And in that space, when people see you authentically show up as a leader of yourself, they're willing to follow you. They're willing to follow you. It's not about how you deal with other people in leadership. It's really about how you deal with yourself. And with the way that you deal with yourself and the way you carry yourself, it makes you attractive to other people. So you got to deal with the inside first. So in that space of leadership and growing with people, I want you guys to understand this other thing is that, and people ask all the time, why do we do some of the things that we do at KWPP? They say, that's crazy. You know, that doesn't make you any money. It may not make us money, right? However, it earns people heart and respect. So in a place of leadership, you have to earn people's heart and respect. And you can get people to do all kinds of things that they would never do under different situations.
That's so powerful. Dan, I was wondering if you could just chime in a little bit on, you know, Emmerich kind of laid out some of the mindset of leadership. What are some of the tools or the skill areas that you had to develop as you sought to like move from doing it yourself? So, you know, Unks shared with us about the mindset and the vision and the way you think about perspective. What were some of the skills you had to develop?
So I think the first piece is it's a never-ending journey. Like there's the leadership is not, I read the books, I did the things and tried to prepare myself and that still didn't get me prepared, right? It's practical application and learning how, it's reflection, it's understanding a situation that you may have handled or not handled very well. And thinking back on it and going, how could I make that situation better? It's learning and growing and being around people that are good leaders to you. My coach told me when I was first on my leadership journey, how do you be a great leader? Like, you're a great leader, Brett. What do you? And he goes, Daniel, part of that is just understanding what is it that you want and helping hold you accountable to achieve that. And so that resonated with me a lot. Like, accountability is love. Accountability is love at the highest form. If I didn't care about you to hold you accountable, I'd let you just talk about what you want to do and just move past it. But the fact that we're checking in and I'm helping you achieve that thing, that allows me to be in relationship and have that love for you. So that was a really big piece for me. Understanding that accountability is not a bad thing. Understanding that you're not going to always get it right, but you've got to care enough to be able to reflect on what you did do right, what you didn't do right, and then care on trying to get better over time.
Yeah, and as we move into that stuff, as you said, it's this ongoing journey, and we're always trying to improve our skills in that. We're always trying to figure out every time I move into a new space, I realize I'm missing all these skills, right? And back to the point you were making earlier about being comfortable, I think it's really hard for people who've been really skilled at something to all of a sudden go into something that they're not as skilled at, right? So if I've been a phenomenal real estate agent, and I'm used to just crushing it. Like I can take my listings. I built a great business. And all of a sudden, I got to think about how I hire and manage people. And maybe I was a 10 at selling real estate and taking a listing, but I'm like a 2 at hiring and managing people. And so part of what creates, Mark Wilson talk a lot about stasis and this idea of like, you're not moving. Part of what creates that comfortableness or that sitting in the spaces, we actually sometimes have to go into a space that we're not skilled at in order to move forward. And that is very challenging and can be hard to move at. So let's talk about this last piece, which to me was, for me, a space I was completely unfamiliar with and one that when I went into, I had no idea about. But Dan, you've always said to us that part of your journey around wealth building has been putting yourself in position to learn about some of, I always call it about the rules and paths of money. Mm-hmm. Like money has rules. And we tend to think like money's just, you know, we're gonna get some money, but money has rules. And you ignore the rules of money at your own peril. And money has paths. Money flows in a certain way. And if you don't pay attention to that, it can have a big difference. I think you become a student of that thing. Yeah.
Time out. Money has rules? Yeah. You mean the more I get, the more I spend, the more I find myself back in debt again? Those kind of rules? Because I think that, like a lot of us, we had no idea that money had rules. All we knew, the rule of money was that somebody else has it, we're trying to get it, and when I get what they have, I'm gonna do what they do. That was the most of our rule for money. Anybody, am I like the only one? Or y'all not gonna say nothing? So now I'm gonna talk about y'all. Some of y'all got some purses and some shoes, and I met men with shoes and men with cars that they really can't afford.
Hold on.
But they're not you.
Hold on. Be careful.
That we really couldn't afford, but we didn't understand the rules of money. And then we bought these things only to find out later that because we didn't follow the rules of money, we had some things that we couldn't afford. And we found ourselves in a deficit in our bank accounts.
Yeah, I think there's both like, there are mathematical rules of money, like compounding. You got to understand compounding and why time matters in money, because money can create more money. And I always use the example to try to explain that to people is I grew up in New England, which influenced a lot. In New England, we have these little dirty ponds and they got lily pads in them. And you would wake up a day and the pond would be all clear. And then over the course of like a couple of months, this pond would be just covered with all these lily pads and nasty, and you couldn't swim in it. And the reason that happened is because a lily pad can create another lily pad in a certain period of time. Well, a dollar can create another dollar in a certain period of time. So what shows up and looks really light in the beginning, where there's like one or two, so there's one lily pad on day one, there's two lily pads on day two, then all of a sudden it goes to four, and then to eight, and then... Right, it just keeps 64. And so it looks like it happened overnight. You look at it from outside and you go, oh, they got rich quick. Or that pond got covered quick. But no, that was a little bit of money working over time. That's a rule of money, right? Emmerich touched on another piece, which we I don't know if we got time to get into today, but you could check out a couple of the other episodes where we go deep into this idea of that when we define... Money's good for the good money can do. And money's only valuable for what money means in your life. If you don't know how much money you need to do the things you want to do, then you just become a slave to money. So do you know what role money plays in your life? Do you know why you need it? Do you know what it could do for you? Do you have an idea of what that amount of money is? And one of the things that, you know, we've had some really great dialogues about is for many of us, right, I'll speak from myself perspective as a man of color, money represented my worth. And so how many of us, when we have this conversation, I used to get really pissed off because I grew up in old school New England. In New England, if you have money, you don't wear some fancy stuff. You drive an old car, right? And then I got to Washington, D.C., and everybody's flossing out and they got all this stuff. And I didn't quite understand it, right? And I was like, oh, I get it. Like, I'm proud of doing all these businesses. One of the things that drives me to do business is I want to prove that I have worth, that I'm valuable. In a world that tells me I'm not worthy, I want to be worthy. And quite frankly, all fashion did was some brands gave us a way to spend money on their product in a way that would tell us we're worthy, right? That's a created construct. And so we've gone deep into that another time. You should definitely check out.
My necklace is out.
He's changing it up all the time. But we've had some amazing things, and I think I've learned a whole new perspective on that and actually learned that I was very closed off in my mindset about just broadly in that. So, okay.
Well, it's an interesting concept, though, in thinking about when we go meet new people and that conversation that we had about I've got to be able to show my worth to you immediately, because if I do not, then now you're going to already have these thoughts
I'm not
about
worth
me.
It.
Correct. Because I got to show you what I'm worth, but when we first meet, so that we can continue the conversation from that point forward and not have you have this belief system about me because I am in old jeans or a hoodie or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, concept. It's an interesting concept of how do you show your worth in a world that is quick to devalue. Okay, so we've kind of covered the wealth building continuum, Julia. We have covered, we'll cover more. We've covered sort of the sales business as a way to start it. We've looked at how we invest in real estate assets, how we build businesses. How does leadership play in that? And then, you know, we there's an opportunity to go a lot deeper in some of these episodes into things like creating a family bank. How do you set up wills and trusts? How do you think about taxation? Some of these mechanics of money that actually in the long run, as I'm finding out now, that's like next level in me.
Wait, did we plug the single black women episode?
We haven't even gone to episodes yet.
I just want to make sure. I'm singly a black woman up here. I want to make sure we plug the single black woman. Keep going. Okay.
No, we didn't find it. So I was gonna actually kick it back to you to say was you covered for us the first pillars episodes. We didn't cover the other pillars episodes. So I thought you might want to shout out some of the episodes that people can go back and take a look at if they want to go deep on
it. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
The one that really stuck out for me, Bo, is the one that we did with George Frazier. Multi-generational wealth.
Yeah.
That was like huge.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask a quick question. Really
that was
quick.
Episode 22, just so y'all know if you want to go back and look at it, the episode with George Frazier. Yeah.
So really quick. Raise your hand really quick. How many of you know who your great-great-grandfather was? Raise your hand. Look around the room. It's not that many people, right? And the rest of us, we don't know who our great-great-grandfather was because they didn't leave us a damn thing. Do y'all get what I'm saying? When your great-great didn't leave you anything, you don't know who they are. And if you ask the people who raised their hand, they probably say they left us some land, they left us some money, they left us something of legacy. And this is the challenge that I always have. My great-great-grandchildren will always remember me because I'm committed and I'm dedicated to leaving some land, some property, something so they can put my picture somewhere in their house to say, that dude thought about me. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Well, that's a great concept, but I don't even know who my father is. So how does that happen for me then?
Because just as I said before, you have to be the person and show up as a person who you want everybody else to be. Because now you get to break that cycle.
Yeah.
And look at me. I didn't know, my dad died when I was 2. So that's an excuse for anybody, in my opinion. What I said was that my children will clearly understand who I am and they will appreciate me. So we gotta break the cycle. At the end of the day, we gotta break the cycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I plug the single black woman
episode. Yes, Julia.
Yeah,
yes.
But Julia, go for it.
Okay. So I want to plug the single black woman episode, which is episode 17, and it was Miss Oglegatama, and we talked about the reason I want to talk that because obviously, as you all see, we've got three very powerful and affluent men here on the stage, but a lot of the households are led by women in the black community, right? Guess the average net worth of a single black woman. Randomly shout out what you think the average net worth of a single black woman might be. Yeah, it's so in Hispanic communities, it's around 500. It's about $5. You said $8. In some, depending on what report you read, they might say $50. Net worth, I'm talking. Right? Wow, it's right. And so Ogla was on one of the episodes and we talked about that, the very, very low net worth of a single black woman, mainly because of debt, student loan debt, to be specific. We're real smart, but we ain't got no money, right? And so there was two solutions to that. There was a lot of different reports and stats that we were using in that conversation. And the solutions to that problem were real estate, buying, acquiring real property, right?
and owning a business. And we happen to be in the business of both. We're actually running real estate businesses. So we are uniquely positioned to break that cycle, right? No single Black woman in this room in the after the path that we go on this wealth building continuum, which should be in that number. It should be a lot more than that when we have the resources, but we have to have the information because we're in the place of owning real estate and owning businesses. It's actually what we do. So part of that conversation of the, all of it, the real estate, the investing, the leadership, the mindset, I just wanted to draw your attention to that episode in particular because many of our Black households are led by single Black women. And so to close that gap that we have, we as single Black women have to participate in this 300 millionaires that we're striving to attain in the next 3 years here. So I just wanted to make sure I plugged that episode. Go ahead, Emily.
So no, yeah. And in that whole conversation, Bo, you brought this up. And we really have to think about this. And this is a question for all of us. This is no matter what. And the question is, are you buying what you're selling? Are you buying what you're selling? And if you're not buying what you're selling, then are you being authentic in what you do? Are you buying what you're selling? Just ask yourself that. I want some of you to ponder on that. Are you buying what you're selling?
This may be a little much, but raise your hands. Who's homeowners in here? Beautiful.
Ooh.
Love that.
And those of you that aren't, I think there's no shame in that, but that should be our immediate next step.
Correct.
Your immediate next step when you walk out this door is figuring how do you get approved to become a homeowner. Yeah.
Yep. Can you talk about that for a second, Julia? Yeah. Because the reason why, and I know it's boring and it's all nerdy, the reason why I keep talking about a continuum is not because it's totally linear, but there is some things like people want to, like, you want to start a business, but you $500,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the right next step.
Right.
Like, so we got to get real with ourselves about where we are on a journey. And there's no shame in the game of where you are and what place. Right. But people come to me asking about, like, oh, I want to be a developer. But then you ask them, like, yo, I don't own a home. I don't have any money. I don't have any of this. Well, you don't want to be, you may want to do that. But okay, here's the five steps you got to take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us time. Even going one step further, I would imagine if you aren't currently a homeowner, there may be some reasons or barriers or challenges, and maybe some of that is your debt-to-income ratio. Or being able to. So even starting there, because this past weekend, I had a little family reunion, and we had a conversation about the Color of Money podcast, which I was very glad that never in life have we ever, in a family reunion setting, sat down for 2 hours and talked about wealth. It's just typically not how the family reunion goes. Right. But in this scenario, because of the podcast, we did talk about that. And one of my brothers said they can't even get started because the student loan debt is so much. So even getting past, you know, yes, the next step should be home ownership. But first, it was paying down the debt. So it's like we had to back it all the way up to, well, let's just start with paying off the debt first. You know, and so we also had an episode on that, paying off the debt and not budgeting. We used a different word. We called it a what did we call it? We didn't call it budgeting.
I forgot what Mark said.
We forgot it was Mark King's word. But anyways, go to that episode.
Spending plan.
Because maybe even, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, go out and get a home. But maybe that's not even your next step. Maybe your next step is figuring out how you can pay off some of the debt you have so that you're even in a position to be able to go out and buy a home. But that is what we aspire to do, to become homeowners for all the reasons that we believe people in the United States build wealth through the acquisition of real property. That's our first step, buying what we're selling, right? So that is our next step, but it might even be a step before that, where you got to figure out how you can double down when you get your commission on Friday and pay off some of this debt you got, so you're in a position to start buying and acquiring real estate.
You got to think about this, Julia. You got me all excited about this because I think there actually is like some steps to it. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
First, you got to be able to create some money. So you got to be able to do something that somebody wants to pay you for.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second of all, you have to not spend all that money on what you need to do every single day. Because if you spend all the money you make, no matter how much money you make, you're never gonna actually create. Some people might be starting in a negative because they have debt from their lives.
Right.
So the first step, I gotta be able to create to remove my debt.
Yeah,
so the first rule of creation is to remove my debt.
You're talking about what are you spending money on?
So I gotta
I have to edit a lot of these episodes because I say stuff that I'm like, they gonna cancel me. I should edit it. Because I talked about the price of hair. That people spend money on how much hair they have. I was at the, I know, that's why I cut it. That's why I edited it. I know how y'all feel. Yeah, I know. But really thinking about this, if you don't have a lot of money and you have a lot of debt, you paying $500 for hair? She said, yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah, but, no, but I mean, and these are real conversations.
So that's part of my talent plan.
These are real conversations, that, you know, and I was telling her, I was next to the girl at the nail shop, and every little thing they wanted to do, she wanted to negotiate it because she didn't have enough money. boo, you don't have enough money to get your nails done, honey. Okay, you don't. You don't. But the things that we're spending money on are causing us to stay complacent and not be able to pay off the debt and not be able to buy the house. So really even thinking and evaluating what we're spending money on.
So figure out how to create money.
Yep.
Have a spending plan.
Correct.
Get out of debt.
Yes.
Build, what is it? Capital velocity?
No.
Build some, no. What do you call it?
Critical mass
okay.
capital.
Okay, build critical mass capital. CMC.
Yeah. Okay.
CMC, critical mass capital. Build some critical mass capital, right? Buy assets. Build businesses.
Assets that appreciate.
Buy assets that appreciate. Build businesses that make money, right? And then figure out how to manage those profits down the road. So you can think of it, there's some steps to it.
Yeah.
And as we go through the pillars in the podcast, we can go deeper in each of those.
Yeah, I would just want to, you said something, right? You said build assets and appreciate. I got in this I thought I shouldn't say this.
Are we about to talk about purses? Because they made me cut that too.
I'm going to say it. I was having a conversation with someone about purses and they were trying to convince me that buying a purse was an asset. They said because
we only got 3 minutes.
If I buy the purse, they say the purses appreciate after 5 years and they could sell it for more money than they bought it for. I was like, really? Really?
Do you understand the struggle?
So it's interesting. So that's us. But what I'm saying is that's our thought process, and we just have to be in that never-ending pursuit of education, be learning-based, continue to grow ourselves and grow our mind in a direction so that we can be like Bo and do the things that other people weren't willing to do in the beginning, so you can do the things that other people can't do when they get later in their life, so we're not figuring out where we're gonna work at 65 years old.
Emmerich, the real issue though is, right, you don't wanna figure out how to be like Bo. You wanna figure out how to be like you. You gotta know what you want and why you wanna go on that journey, right? Like, you have a big why. It's powered you to what's today. There's something that matters to you. There's something that drives you. There might be some wounds you're trying to heal, right, with all that stuff. But like, you know what's deep inside your soul. And if you can figure out how that relates to work and money, then you unlock that power inside of you to take that action against it.
We're in an industry where you have no cap to the amount of revenue you can make.
Because I can guarantee you, I just saw, I was looking at Daniel's eyes, right? When you talk to Daniel about shoes, he smiles, lights up. A man likes some nice stuff. When you see Daniel talk about building a foundational legacy of what it means to be a father, the father he didn't have, you see a different level of power in that man's eyes. That's a power nobody's gonna stop, right? Mm-hmm. So are we tapping into that deeper power we have to get the things that actually matter and drive us?
So use your pain to move you.
Can I wrap this up? Because we only got a minute.
Can I say one
thing, because I got to read the sponsor thing.
Find out what you absolutely love. Once you find out what you absolutely love and what you're absolutely passionate about to fuel your life, you'll never work another day in your life.
Just
figure out what you're passionate about and run in that direction. And it might not be real estate for some people, I'm just telling you, but just figure out, is that gonna be the wealth accumulation? That's gonna be the idea, the thought, activity that's gonna help you accumulate the wealth that's gonna make your life.
Give Daniel his 20 seconds, and she got last
minute.
I think just be a forward thinker. Me and Emmerich get in arguments about like 20 years from now, it's difficult for me to think that far, but it makes it easier to do today and tomorrow what needs to get done to be where you want to be in 10 years from now. So think forward, understand what that looks like, get clear about what that path is, and just start chipping it away. It's not going to be easy, but look at yourself in the mirror and convince yourself it's going to be worth it.
That's good. Friends, was this helpful today? Yes. Every week we have a new conversation. We have a lot of really good guests on the podcast. Tune in to the colorofmoneypodcast.com. You can find all the previous episodes that you might have missed out on. This broadcast of the Color of Money podcast has been brought to you by Riz Media Premiere.
Riz Media Premier offers exclusive information and insights necessary to achieve unparalleled success in real estate. At Keller Williams, all Keller Williams attendees receive $100 off their annual membership when they go to rizmedia.com/premier and use coupon code RISFR24. Friends, this is not the end of the conversation. This is only the beginning of the conversation. We do this every week. Find us at the same place, the same time, thecolorofmoneypodcast.com. Tune into these conversations. And we're done recording, but I want to make sure y'all coming to the party tonight. You're coming to the events tonight. We have a mastermind full of people who are doing this stuff we talked about. They're going to tell you how to do this stuff that we talked about this evening at the event. And then there's an after party, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Y'all look beautiful in your African attire. I'm going to go ahead and put mine on.
We want to be there at 4:50 if possible. We want to start at 5 sharp.
We're going to be there. So anyways, friends, thank you for coming. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you for tuning in to the Color of Money podcast.
Yeah. Cut.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.